Welcome to Chart and Compass Ministry, a ministry of Christ Lutheran Church in Cape Canaveral, helping you to navigate through the storms of this life by the ever-accurate compass of the Word of God. I'm pleased to share with you today another message from Pastor Greg Lucier, and the message today is titled, How to Conquer Temptation According to Jesus.
God's grace, His mercy, and His peace be with you today through Jesus Christ, our one and only Savior, the King. Amen. Today I'd like to talk with you about temptation, about how to face and defeat the devil, the tempter, whenever he comes against us to tempt us to sin, to lure us away from God, to entice us to go from the paths of the truth into ways of evil. How can we fight against the tempter and win? Do you guys face temptations today? You all do. How often? Well, frankly, all the time. So how can we win? I think there's no better place for us to look than to our Lord Jesus Christ Himself, the great hero of heaven, the champion, the prince, the king, Jesus Christ, the Savior, when He went and fought against the devil in the wilderness and defeated him there when he was tempted. So let's take a look at our Lord's temptations today and see how by them the Lord teaches us also to conquer and to win whenever we are tempted by the tempter. So let's take a look at that today and see what He would teach us. We'll take a look at Luke chapter 4, that version, which is identical virtually to the other ones, but we'll look through Luke chapter 4 at how Jesus cleaned the devil's clock there on that day long ago. Let's take a look then. Luke chapter 4, beginning verse 1. And Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit for 40 days in the wilderness, tempted by the devil. So Jesus had to go out and face the devil, and he was led by the Spirit there to face him. Why did Jesus have to go out and fight him? Well, number one, it's because he is the destined hero from Genesis chapter 3, where God promised that the seed of the woman would one day come and crush and destroy the serpent, the dragon, Lucifer, the devil. So he's the one destined to save the world, to save mankind, to set us free from the tempter and from all of his evil, wicked ways, from his clutches, from his dominion of darkness, from death. Jesus had, as the Prince of Light, to come and face the Prince of Darkness. And that was a head-on collision in full force. You know, when we face the devil, we get him in pieces. As the Lord keeps him on a leash, he comes against us to a certain degree. We face him in pieces, restrained, held back, chained to a degree. But when he faced Jesus, it was in the full forces of all the powers of darkness God let to come against Christ to test him as the devil sought to throw himself against the Savior to kill and destroy him that he might continue his dominion of darkness. And Jesus came in full force against the devil as a man. And so he had to go there first because this is the champion of heaven facing the Prince of Darkness. It had to happen. Secondly, Jesus had to face the devil because he had to win and succeed where we had all failed. Each one of these temptations we've all fallen to, would our Lord also fall? Which leads to the third point, he had to face the devil, is because he had to be tested and prove himself to be the perfect, sinless Savior of the world. So they had to be on a collision course. So Jesus had to be on a collision course with the devil because the Spirit led him out to this very test and challenge to the devil. But the devil also had to come out in full force too, didn't he? In full force to collide with the Savior. Why? Because everything was at stake for him to defeat the Savior. Because he had the whole world, we'd all sinned. This is the Savior to destroy him. If he could get him to sin, then he could defeat him here at the outset, then he wins. If Jesus had but one sin, he could not be the Savior of the world. So the devil knows everything. Much is at stake. He has to win this battle. He has to tempt the Savior into sin if he's going to continue and win in the end his dominion of darkness. If not, all is lost. His life is lost. His freedom is lost. His kingdom is lost. Everything is lost if he loses this fight. So he comes out in all force to win the battle. What do we learn by this is that if Jesus our Lord had to face the tempter, what's that tell you about you and me? We also are gonna have to face him. He is the tempter. That's one of his names in the Bible. You know that. He's the tempter of all mankind, to tempt and lure into sin and evil, but especially also of the Christian, because you belong to Jesus Christ, and he's at war with our King. Therefore, if he's at war with our King, he's at war with you. He will come and try to tempt you, even today, to sin and to depart the Savior. Should we be afraid of him? What do you think? Answer is no. Don't be afraid of the tempter. Remember, the Spirit, we read here, led Jesus out into the wilderness to face the challenges of the devil. He led him out to win, not to lose. When the Spirit leads you out and you have to fight the devil, he leads you out to win also, not to lose. Jesus had to face the devil as soon as he was baptized, Luke chapter 3, and then immediately went out to be tempted. We have to face him immediately after our baptism as well. So we're in a war. Don't fear him. But at the same time, number two, also with that, don't be overconfident, because he is a foul fiend. He is a wicked foe. He's a dastardly dragon, a horrible villain, very sly. We read in the Old Testament that there was a creature on earth in Job's days called Leviathan. Have you heard of that in Job 41? He was a dragon, a creature that comes out of the sea. Round about his teeth dances terror. His eyes are like the eyelids of the dawn. He has his back rows of shields. A smoke billows from his nose, and fire pours forth from his mouth. This is a great picture of the devil. Who is this but Godzilla? Have you ever seen Godzilla? 20 stories tall, impenetrable, undefeatable, a foul fiend. So don't take him lightly. He can also masquerade himself as an angel of light and appear a very good-looking, handsome fellow, quite winsome, pretending to be friendly on your side to help you out. Beware, his craftiness was so great that he led 1/3 of the angels into treason and rebellion against God. And if he was able to deceive angels, how will we fare as mere men if not by the help of God? So don't underestimate him, don't fear him, but don't take him lightly either. Be ready and be alert, says the Spirit. You have to fight him. So, but how can we win? Let's continue to read and go on to the temptations of Christ. We read that, and he, Jesus, ate nothing in those days, 40 days in the wilderness, no food, perhaps water, but no food. And when they were ended, he was hungry. The devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread. So what's the first temptation? It's to the lust of the flesh. Remember in 1 John 2, we read that we have to face the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Well, the first one is the lust of the flesh, the cravings of the body, the desires of the stomach, the god of the belly. And notice how wily he is, how crafty and sneaky is the devil. He attacked Christ for 40 days, but here at the very end, when the Lord is at his weakest point, no food 40 days, his energy has dwindled, his physical energy. You know how you feel, dizzy, lightheaded, your willpower is very small. At this point, the devil strikes. Does he strike us the same? Do you face your biggest temptations in the morning? Or at night? You know, in the morning we can say, you know, I won't eat a chocolate bar at all. I am very powerful. I'm Superman. But by night we want to eat the whole Hershey's chocolate candy, you know, factory. In the morning we say, I am Christ's. I am justified. I am saved. By night we're thinking, I am a horrible failure of a human being, and I wonder if God has even saved me. He comes against us when we are the weakest, most exhausted. So with Christ, he knows when to strike. Beware, he's wily. And so the temptation here was to fight the god of the belly. Will you depart from the calling of the Spirit to fast these days and face me? and continue to fast, or will you give in to your flesh? Use your superpowers, Jesus, as the Son of God, to command the stones to become bread and feed the cravings of your flesh. Why did the devil use this temptation with Jesus first? Answer, it always worked before. He's never lost with this one. Remember with Eve, he did the same exact thing. What was her test? Food. Take of it, eat the forbidden fruit that God has forbidden you to eat. And she fell, he won there. Remember Israel, they came out of Egypt. What's the first temptation they face? Food. Hey, return to slavery and the flesh pots of Egypt. Return for food. What was Esau's test? Food. Sell your birthright for a single meal of porridge. Everybody, we've all fallen to the cravings of the flesh, right? We've all given in to our bodily desires and departed from the Lord. Will the Lord stand up to this test of the devil, this temptation from him to fall and go after the god of the belly? What do we read of our Lord Jesus Christ? Jesus, fully equal to the challenge, perceiving quickly the devil's trick, countered with a bold stroke, keeping to God, and shined out his answer. And what do we read? Jesus answered him, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." How did Jesus win there against the devil and beat down this first temptation? By quoting Scripture. Notice he's the Word of God, right? He, you would think, could speak on his own, but he says, he quotes the written word, the Scriptures, the Bible. How are you going to fight against the devil? By one weapon only, the Word of God, which is called in the Scriptures, and I do it again, the sword of the Spirit. Remember who you're fighting, friends, here. Godzilla, okay? Watch that movie a little bit, a clip of it this afternoon. 20 stories high, his back is rows of shields. He has impenetrable armor. He is foul. Nobody can stop him. He laughs at the rattle of javelins, Job chapter 41. And he is king over all the sons of pride. And to this point in his life, he's undefeated. He has a perfect record, a winning streak. What is the one weapon that can strike him down? No earthly weapon can do it. It's got to be a heavenly one. The heavenly weapon is the Word of God, the written word. You've got to go against the devil when he tempts you, not with your reasons. He can outwit you. Not with your smarts, he can outsmart you. Not with your clever contrivances of speech, he can out-cleverly contrive you. The written word alone can strike him down. Martin Luther, after whom we take our name, said this is the only weapon the devil's afraid of. He's not afraid of the Word of God and reason. Your arguments, he can spin you around 10 times from Sunday, or 1,000 times, or your own wit. The only thing he's afraid of is the word alone on the battlefield. And notice here, in each of these temptations, Jesus uses only the word, nothing but the word, and the word alone, being heavenly, can pierce the dragon's armor and cause him to bleed, defeat him. And so the Lord does this here by quoting Deuteronomy 8, verse 3. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And so he conquered the temptations to the lust of the flesh and won. So what do we read next here? Was the devil done then? Was he finished? Did he throw in the towel? Did he give up? Well, he came quickly for us, and he mounted a second attack. What's that teach us? When you whip out the Word of God and strike him down with a quote from Scripture, when you're tempted, what should you do? Put away your sword? Or keep it brandished and out, ready for the second attack? Be ready for a second attack. He does not give up easy. Why? Because number one, he's a sore loser. Number two, he is a dragon, okay? So he's a fierce fighter. And number three, there's just plain too much at stake, especially with Jesus. He's got to win this or he's lost and his kingdom done. So the devil comes against them again. We read in verse 5. And the devil took him up took Jesus up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time, and said to him, "To you I will give all this authority and all their glory, for it's been delivered to me, and I give it to whom I will. If you then will worship me, it shall all be yours." So what was this temptation to Christ? The first one was the lust of the flesh. The second one will be the lust of the eyes. Namely, all that your eye sees, Jesus, the splendor of the kingdoms, the gems, the riches, the gold, the silver, the cities, the lands, the castles, the titles, the possessions, everything your eye can see and delight in this world, I'll give you, Jesus. I'll give that all to you, for it's been delivered to me. I give it to whom I will. One thing, worship me, and it'll all be yours, says the crafty devil. So, does the devil really have the power to give the world to you and to Jesus if you'll just fall down and worship him? Yeah, actually. 1 John chapter 5, we know that we are of God, and the whole world is in the power of the evil one. At Adam's fall, God gave authority to the devil towards this end, and the devil does have power to give worldly blessings, worldly riches, honor the delights of the eyes to you if you fall down and worship him. But that's a trick, by the way. Many have fallen for it. Many rock stars, we've talked about this in times past, have made agreements and contracts with the devil to exchange, to get from him worldly power in exchange for their service to him. And we've heard people like John Lennon, apparently of December 1960, just before becoming famous with Beatlemania, supposedly made a pact with the devil of 20 years and to make him famous. AC/DC admitted to agreeing with the devil to get fame in exchange for their service. Bob Dylan, have you ever seen that 60 Minutes episode where he claimed that he was still doing this after these many years because he'd made an agreement, a contract, with the commander in unseen places? How about Katy Perry? She said she'd sold her soul to the devil. In Hollywood, Mel Gibson says, you go in there as good as you are, it will devour you and eat you up and destroy you in the end. The evil of Hollywood, if you give your life to it to get fame and glory, it'll eat you up in the end. So also with many politicians, businessmen of our days, and the temptations for us as well, is to not wait upon God for him to give you everything, but get it from the devil now. And he says, if you fall down and worship me, I'll give it all to you. And he would say the same to you today. What therefore does the Lord have to pass through here? And what do we have to pass through? Pilgrim's Progress. Namely, Vanity Fair. It's a fair set up on our journey to heaven. All of us must pass through it. A fair set up by Beelzebub, the devil, where he offers us all the kingdoms of the world. Whatever you wish. What will you buy from the world? I'll give it to you. Just worship me. I'll give you the things and the delights of this life. And Jesus, when he passed through that fair long ago in Pilgrim's Progress, as it's spoken there, he was of such an important character that the Beelzebub himself, the prince of the fair, took our Lord personally through all the streets of the city. What will ye buy? What will you buy? But notice again how Jesus answers the devil. Whipping out the sword of the Spirit, the word of God, it is written. Say those words with me. It is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. Quoting Deuteronomy once again, the written word. And the word of God wins again. And he came out triumphant. You know, when we pass through, when Christian and faithful had to pass through in Pilgrim's Progress, what will ye buy? What was their answer? We buy the truth, which comes right out of the book of Proverbs. That's what we have to be after. Beware, when the devil promises and tempts us to the lust of the eyes, to all the delights of the riches of the world, just follow those and I'll give them to you. Remember, that's a trick. Remember the Lennon, John Lennon supposedly made a pact with the devil for 20 years, and at the end of the 20 years, he was murdered. Remember? A shot rang out. The devil we'll feed the turkeys, okay, in the summertime, so that come November, they're only the fatter for the slaughter when he shoots you and eats you in the end. God tells us by this temptation, when the devil tempts you with the delights of this world, and depart from me if you worship him, remember, those are only promises and tricks for a world that's fallen. You get a broken world that you only have for a little while. Wait for me, and I'll give you the entire world and all of its kingdoms and all the splendor and glory of the ends of the earth, and that you'll have eternally and in glory and splendor as I would give it to you. Christ, knowing this, knew that he was already the king and heir of all things, said, I'm not getting it the devil's way. I'm waiting on the Lord. I'll get it in his timing and in his manner. And so he wins. And know that God has promised to you all things. If God didn't spare his own son, he's going to give us all things with him anyway. You're already the inheritor of the world. The meek shall inherit the earth. And the new heavens and the new earth are promised to you in which righteousness dwells. So wait on the Lord and whip out that sword. You shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. Be gone, the things of this world. I serve Christ. So he wins again. Amen? Number two. Round two goes to the Lord. And boy, that must have been a blow to the devil and his pride. We read the third temptation, verse 9. And he took him to Jerusalem and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here. For it is written, he will give his angels charge of you to guard you. And on their hands they'll bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. What is this temptation? In his dark powers, he whisks him to the heights of the temple in Jerusalem, overlooking the Kidron Valley, dizzying heights, great to make his mind spin. And he's already tired and weary and exhausted anyway. The temptation is here is not to the so much the lust of the flesh or the lust of the eyes, but to the pride of life. Throw yourself down in from here. God will catch you up. You'll be famous. Show off, Jesus. You'll get all the disciples you were after anyway. This way. Why go the way of the cross? Why go and squalor through dusty roads and face troubles and preaching the word and the cross and such things? No, throw yourself down. God will catch you up. You'll win the world that way, Jesus. And notice how wily he is here. The devil seeks to, knowing that he's been beaten twice with the word of God, what's he do? He tries to whip out the word of God first. Does the devil use the scripture against you, by the way? Can he quote the Bible? Absolutely, but he twists it just enough to make it invalid and a counterfeit. A little sword. I've got the word first. Who can play at that game, Jesus? I'll quote Psalm 91. Aren't you relying on Psalm 91? God's going to bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. Here, I beat you to the punch. Jesus says, that's not the word properly quoted. That's out of context. No, he doesn't even say that. He doesn't even entertain the devil to discuss theology with him and why he's wrong, right? All he does is whip out the sword again, the word of God, and answers, it is written, you shall not tempt or test the Lord your God. And be gone, devil. He quotes again Deuteronomy 6, verse 16 in this case. Know then by this, that the devil may come against you with the word. He'll twist it. He'll turn it around, make it invalid and counterfeit to destroy you. Just whip out the word again. Quote the scriptures and let that be enough. It will make the dragon bleed. And he wins. It is the sword of the Spirit, after all, the word of God. So what was the result of all this? Next verse. And when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until an after opportune time. In other words, he ran away with his tail between his legs. Or, let's say this, Godzilla was turned into a gecko to be squashed and crushed underfoot by one thing only, the written word of God. And so quote the written word. Jesus was victorious here. And the devil departed at least for a time. He'll come back at the opportune time and try again. But this was enough to send him to his cave. The knight, you, with Excalibur, he shall run from the field and hole up in his den once again. For James says, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Peter says, resist the devil, firm in your faith, and God will himself restore, establish, and strengthen you. And Paul says, take the whole armor of God, including the sword of the Spirit, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand, and you will come to victory, for it's the heavenly sword, Excalibur, the sword of the Spirit, the written word of God. Amen? The conclusion then, verse 14. Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and report concerning him went out through all the surrounding country. That is, he returned triumphant in full power out of that fight, as will you, and he went on to fight, and fight again, and fight continually all the way to the cross, and without sinning. He was the perfect Savior. He is the perfect Savior who conquered the devil and gives us the kingdom. That is, he did, he does, he has, he will give you the kingdom. He disarmed the principalities and powers and made a public example of them, triumphing over them through his cross. And you now conquer the devil too, by the word of God, by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of your testimony, loving not your lives even unto death. Therefore, what's the word today? When you face the tempter, all you got to do is whip out this book, the written word, apply it rightly with power, and he will run. You win through the sword of the Spirit. At the end, you'll be able to say, yep, it worked. I fought the good fight. I've finished the race now. I have kept the faith, and therefore there's laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but to all who have loved his appearing, we win through the sword of the Spirit, the word of God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's message called How to Conquer Temptation According to Jesus, a broadcast of Chart and Compass Ministry of Christ Lutheran Church in Cape Canaveral. I'm Art Hansen, speaking for Pastor Greg Lucier. And if you're looking for a church home or would like to stop by and just visit, our services are at 10 a.m. on Sunday and worship Bible study is at 7 p.m. on Wednesday. Christ Lutheran is located on Highway A1A in Cape Canaveral, right across from the Recreation Center. If you'd like to hear more messages, be sure to visit our website at ChristLutheranChurchCapeCanaveral.org. Thanks for tuning in, and I look forward to sharing God's Word with you again next Monday at 12:30. Have a wonderful week in our Lord Jesus Christ, the great captain of our soul, and God bless you.